Okay, if you would, we're going to turn to 1 Samuel 19. I've been teaching the last few weeks about lying and telling the truth, being honest and integrity. I think last week I talked about honesty and integrity is the most precious commodity of your life. And there's a scripture in the Proverbs that says a righteous man hates lying. You know, a few things are as frustrating to me as somebody that's caught up in lying and dishonor, dishonesty. You can't help folks like that. You can't. And I know as a parent, let me ask you parents, isn't it frustrating when your kids lie to you? I mean, something rises up in you big time. Amen? Now, you know, you got to separate anger from correction. But I can remember the angriest my daddy would ever get to me was when I lied. And I've shared some stories about that. And you know, frankly, better to have angry correction than no correction at all. At least it provided a clear parameter. And I'm not saying I haven't lied. Oh, yes, I have. But I tell you what, fear of the Lord's on me in that area. The Holy Ghost, I mean, I can't walk 3 feet away from a situation. Holy Ghost is all over me. Hello? Yes, Lord. Amen? And that's what it's all about, is God speaking through our conscience and obeying our conscience, the Lord. Well, we've been talking about that. There's nothing more important. Lying opens the door to the devil. John 8:44, Satan is the father of lies. Lying to yourself is one of the worst things you can ever do. Because when you lie to yourself, when you begin to choose to believe something to be true that isn't true, or something that's not true to be true, when you choose that, you enter into a cave of darkness, so sometimes never to come out. I believe honesty is the glue of healthy relationships. It's impossible to have any kind of intimacy where there's lack of honesty, truth. Amen? Lying tendencies have consequences. And what I want to talk about this morning is an example in the Bible. It's an amazing example. And the title today is How a Lie Can Follow You All Your Life. We're going to look at a young lady in the Bible who chose to lie when she was young and never fessed up, and how it followed her entire life and caused misery and destruction her whole life. And this is in the Word, this story. And I think it's there for a reason, to show us there's consequences to disobedience. God loves us. Amen? But God's not mocked. And he would have us to walk in truth. Jesus said, everyone that's of the truth hears my voice. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the Bible says we must worship him in spirit and truth. So the Lord loves us, and he wants truth to be in the inward parts of who we are. So we need, this is kind of the back end of the series I've been talking about lying, probably the last teaching I'm going to do on it, because I want to give the example of how it can follow you. And we'll look at this woman, 1 Samuel 19, verse 1. Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. I would say Saul was not the best role model. He had a problem. This was David's king, his mentor, his father-in-law. And he wanted to kill David. He's jealousy. He was out of pettiness. And verse 9, turns out David was married to Saul's daughter, but he still wanted to kill him. Verse 9, the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul. Now, that's an interesting passage, the evil spirit from the Lord. You know, nothing can go past the Lord. The Lord allowed this evil spirit because of the rebellion and the jealousy and the sin. As he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David was playing the harp, and Saul sought to smite David to the wall with a javelin. And so David slipped out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall and escaped that night. And David fled and escaped that night. So Saul's sitting there. I mean, just what a jerk, you know. Here's David playing a harp, trying to love him. And, demon comes up and says, throws a javelin. Whoa, dude. You know, fortunately, David was pretty quick. Jumped aside, didn't get speared to the wall. He said, I am discerning that I better leave. So Saul's servants sent messengers. Saul sent messengers to David's house to watch him, to slay him in the morning. So he had guys sitting around his house, get him in the morning. And Michal, this is Saul's daughter and David's husband, David's wife. Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, if you save not your life tonight, tomorrow you'll be slain. So Michael let David down through a window. Apparently put him in a basket, and he went, fled, and escaped. She lowered her husband down a window, and he took off. And she took an image and laid it in a bed and put a pillow of goat's hair and covered it with cloth. In other words, she put something in the bed to look like David. Now, let me tell you something here. Right here, we see that Michal was faithful to her husband and discerned her father's wickedness. Would you agree? And she was willing to risk herself for David. So far, so good. Well, look at verse 14. When Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, he's sick. She's trying to cover off. She fended off the murderers so her husband could escape. So the messengers went back to Saul. Verse 15. So Saul sent the messengers again to David, saying, bring him up to me that I can slay him. So you idiots, pull him out of bed. Bring him up here. So when the messengers would come in, behold, they pulled the sheet back, and it was an image with a pillow of goat's hair for a bolster. In other words, what's this deal? This is not David. You faked this out. And verse 17, and Saul said to Michal, his daughter, why do you deceive me? You sent away my enemy that's escaped. Now look at this. And Michal said to Saul about her husband, well, he said to me, let me go. Why should I kill you? So when the ruse was exposed, you know what she did? She turned traitor to her own husband. And she compromised with the wickedness of her daddy to save her skin. Do y'all see that? I mean, she basically indicted her husband. So why? He threatened me to kill me unless I let him go. Now what did she did? She enabled. She fed the demon and Saul. Well, all the more reason I ought to pursue this man. He threatened, you see? To save her skin, she lied to her daddy. And she betrayed her husband. When the heat was on, she lied about David, accused him of threatening her. I want you to show you something. 2 years later, her father gave her to another husband. Look at 1 Samuel 25:44. So she protected herself. Never did go back to David. 1 Samuel 25:44, 2 years later, David knew that he just discerned this woman was bad news. So finally, 25:44, Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to, I guess it's Phalti, the son of Laish, which was of Galim. So, he gave her to another man. Even though she was still married to David, he hated David. He was trying to kill David. So he gave her to a new husband. He gave her over to a new husband. Now, it turns out she lived with this guy for 12 years. Now I want you to see. She lied. She betrayed her husband. She justified it in her mind to save her skin for whatever reason. And she probably forgot about it. So her daddy gives her to another man. She lives with him for 12 years. Well, then, 12 years later, David eventually becomes king. If you know the story, Saul dies. David becomes king. Look at 2 Samuel 3. Let's follow the story here. And while the nation was slowly consolidating under David's kingship, it took a while. He was in the city of Hebron. It took a while for all Israel to come back under him. And one of his former army generals made gestures of reconciliation to David to try to bring all of Israel under him. 2 Samuel 3:12, and Abner sent messengers to David on his behalf saying, whose is the land? Saying, make your league with me. Behold, my hand shall be with you to bring about all Israel to you. In other words, finally, this army general is going to bring all Israel, trying to finally get all of Israel under David. For 7 years, the house of Saul decreased, the house of David increased. It took 7 years for David to finally become full king of Israel. Okay? And there's a real teaching in that. He came into his own, took 7 years for it to fully be his own. So finally, Saul's, one of the former army generals, makes gestures of reconciliation. I'm ready to bring the nation and put it at your feet. Look at verse 13. And David said, well, I will make a league with you, but one thing I require of you, that is, you will not see my face except you first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when you come to see me. And David sent messengers to Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, saying, deliver me my wife, Michal, who I espoused to me for 100 foreskins of the Philistines. See, Saul's, Michal's, daddy Saul said he can marry my daughter. He has to go kill 100 Philistines. He was hoping that he would die in the process. What a jerk. He didn't. He showed up with 200. So he bought the girl. So he said, I want my wife back. In verse 15, and Ishbosheth sent and took her from her husband, even from Phaltiel, the son of Laish. And her husband went along with her weeping behind her to Bahurim. And they said, Abner said, return, and he returned. So, I mean, what? Here she was sent to a man, lived with him for 12 years. And then David, when he comes as king, says, I want my wife back. Well, he's king. So, walks in the house one day, says, you going back to your first husband. Well, the guy she married, loved her, he lost her. And he was just freaked out. He was walking behind, crying and begging. And finally, Abner said, go. He knew if he didn't go, he'd be killed. So he went home. So imagine what was going on with Michal. You know, she'd been married to David. She saw that she betrayed David to save her own skin. She thought David was old news. Got a new husband, new life. 12 years later, ripped out everything that was comfortable and secure, and ripped out of it all and put back to be with David. It was 14 years since she'd married David, and he reclaimed his wife. So Michal and David are once again united. Do you think it was happily ever after? No. You know why? Because she never fessed up to her lie and her accusation and her betrayal. She never fessed up to it. She wronged this guy. David didn't do anything wrong to this girl. He didn't do anything wrong to her daddy. He was just trying to follow the Lord. But she wronged him. She sinned against him. She lied. She betrayed him. She did something unjust and unrighteous. And God saw it. And you know what? There was a curse on Michal. And it stayed with her whole life. And I believe instead of fessing up her lie, it brewed in her. It brewed in her. She was bitter. She was angry. She probably totally forgot what she did 12 years before. But all she knew was she was mad and angry and unhappy. And we can see that in chapter 6, verse 15. A couple years later, David's bringing the ark in. He's king. He's excited. Finally get the ark back to town. The symbol of God's presence. Verse 6:16. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window. You know, the Hebrew there, look, means leaned out. She was leaning way out the window to look at her husband. And she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. She said, look at him out there being a fool, dancing before the ark. She was just bitter woman, angry, unhappy housewife, judgmental, critical of her husband. Verse 20. So David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet him. Can you see it? She had a rolling pin in her hand. He walks in the door. How glorious was the king of Israel today! I discern this wasn't done in love. Who uncovered himself in the eyes of the handmaids of the servants as one of the vain fellows. In other words, she said, you were jumping up and down. I was seeing your undies. And so did them other ladies. You, how glorious. You were so, what? Vile. David said, it was before the Lord. I'm sorry, but it was before the Lord. He chose me before your father and before all your house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play before the Lord. I like that. David, you know, he didn't care. Whatever. It was before the Lord. The people loved David. You know they loved David? You know why they loved David? Because he was a child before the Lord. When he got before the Lord, he just became a little kid. He didn't care what anybody thought. One time they were going out to battle, and he almost got killed. You know, the people said, look, David, better that 10,000 of us die than you die, because you are the light of Israel. People love David. He said, I will be yet more vile than this, woman. You ain't seen nothing. And I would be base in my own sight. That's why they loved him. He had a humble heart. He was a child at heart. And of the maidservants of whom you've spoken of them, I'll be had an honor. Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death. You know what, folks? You know what happened? That old lie 20 years before came home to roost. Are you seeing this? From the abundance of the heart, what? My suspicion was things were never the same once Michael came home to David. Never were the same. In fact, this was the last straw for her. Probably from the day she came back, she was a nagging whatever. You know? Nothing was good enough. Always on his back. This and that. Bitter, and probably David didn't know what to deal with. See, David didn't know what she'd done. Do you understand that? David was apparently not privy, maybe, but he was not privy to the fact that she had saved her own skin back there when he let her out the window. When she let him out the window in the basket to get away. He didn't know that. He didn't know what the deal with this woman was. What's the deal with her? What's she so bitter at me for? Why'd she on my back all the time? Well, there'd been something that had never been fessed up. So this was the last straw. But I want you to notice the consequence of the old lie still is not fully worked out. You think this is bad enough? This is 20 years later. Listen, now she's barren. The woman never has a child. Is never able to bear children. Put aside, demoted as it were, to sit in her sullen attitude of bitterness. But it's still not over. 2 Samuel 21. Look at this. This is 21 years after that. This is 21. We're talking 20 years after they were married. It finally came to roost. But 21 more years. We're talking 41 years from the time they were married. From the time that she pulled that lie. The curse was still operating. You know, I'm going to show you an example and draw this to a conclusion. You know, the bottom line is when I'm trying to make a point, you can run, but you cannot hide. Amen? You know, the thing the Holy Ghost is trying to do in our life is put his finger on stuff. Because there's stuff you do when we break one of the commandments, the Holy Ghost's finger will be on you for the rest of your life. Because something's got to happen. Either the bar of justice has to be played out. Either you're going to pay the penalty or you're going to get under the blood. One or the other. Either the good news is we can get under the blood, it can be forgiven, and it's done. Hallelujah, forever. Or if you refuse, guess what? Some men's sins go before them to judgment, but other men's they follow after. So this is what happens. And there are people that just say, Lord, I love you, I'll follow you, but I ain't ever going to face that. I don't ever want to deal with that. I don't ever want to go to so-and-so and humble myself about that. God says, fine, for all your life, you may suffer the consequence, and the Holy Ghost will be on you. In my years of ministering to people, the Lord has had me in counsel to people really to direct them to go and make something right that was 10, 20, 30 years before. You remember that scripture that says if you come to the altar and you remember there that your brother has ought against you, leave your gift and go first, make it right? That's how important this is in the eyes of the Lord. I've told people, look, like one guy came, he had a problem with a pastor that he pulled some stunt with, you know, mad and said something left, but 15 years before, I said, why don't you write him a letter? Why don't you make it right? Amen? Hey, Ham Hardy finally did, came back to me and said, man, the best thing I ever did. Something lifted out of his spirit. Been there 15 years. You know, God's serious about us making amends, amen, and loving one another and making it right. So look, 21 years later, 2 Samuel 21. There was a famine in the days of David for 3 years, year after year. This is 21 years later, mind you, well into his kingdom. It was this famine, for 3 year famine, and David went to the Lord, and the Lord said, it's for Saul, for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites. Now, this is so weird. The Gibeonites were the enemy of Israel, but Joshua swore to them, if you read in the book of Joshua, that we would protect them. They seduced him. They snooked him. And so he had to protect, because he made a covenant with them, he had to protect them. And this is the bunch that the enemy invaded him. He had to go protect him. That's when he commanded the sun to be still. Remember, the sun stood still a whole day. It was protecting the Gibeonites, where they should have had to slay. But Joshua was, you know, didn't go to the Lord and swore to protect his enemy. Well, it's a long story. But because he swore to protect them, his word was truth. And God, therefore, said they need to be protected. Well, Saul came along and says, the heck with that oath of Joshua's. I'm going to go after the Gibeonites. Well, because he was breaking an oath, a curse came on the land. That there was a famine in the land for 3 years. Do you know sometimes there are famines and physical phenomena that occur because of someone's some sin? Did you know that the weather can be affected by sin? Hello? A famine because of sin. So David went to the Lord. Finally, the Lord showed him it was because of Saul. Verse 3, so David said to the Gibeonites, what shall I do? He wanted to undo this curse. Now, you're really going to be glad you're in the New Testament when you read this because of the blood of Jesus. In the Old Testament, you had to go through some stuff, okay? It was to break curses. Here, praise God. So David said, what can we do to break the curse? Wherewith shall I make an atonement that you can bless? He needed the Gibeonites to bless Israel because they were cursing Israel. And the curse was sticking because of the violation of the oath. Do you understand how this works? They were breaking the curse. So they were, their curse was, the curse causes shall not come. It was sticking and bringing famine. You know, there's so much teaching in this. There may be someone that's cursing you or your family, and it's sticking because there's sin. So you have to go back and say, what have I done to wrong you? Get it under the blood, then the curse don't stick. Are y'all with me? You hear what I'm saying? So they said, the Gibeonites said, well, we will have no silver or gold of Saul or of his house. Neither shall you kill any man in Israel. Well, David says, what shall I, what you say, what will you want me to do? And they answered the king, verse 5, the man that consumed us had devised against us, we should be destroyed from remaining in Israel. In other words, it has to do with Saul. Let 7 men of his sons be delivered to us, and we'll hang them up under the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord chose. And the king said, fine. He says, you go get 7 of Saul's sons, and we'll hang them up. The sons will suffer the iniquity of the father, and that'll then we'll bless you. Now, I'm going to tell you, aren't you glad in the New Testament? But the king spared Mephibosheth, if you remember the story, because he was a covenant son with Jonathan, because of the Lord's oath. But verse 8, but the king took the 2 sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, whom she bare to Saul, Armani and Mephibosheth, that was another of Mephibosheth, and the 5 sons of Michal. There she is, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Mahalathite. Hey, I said those pretty good. You see, if you study this carefully, those were not Michael's kids. In fact, the Living Bible says who she adopted. See, this was her sister's 5 boys. Her sister was named Merab. Apparently, remember, she was barren. But for whatever reason, she raised the 5 boys of her sister. 5 boys, she raised them. She adopted them. For 21 years, she'd raised them. These were her 5 boys. And verse 9, and David delivered all these men to the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the hill before the Lord. And they all fell 7 together. They hung them up. See, somebody's blood had to spill on the ground to break the curse. And they were all put to death in the days of the harvest, in the first days, in the beginning of the barley harvest. And Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, took sackcloth, spread on the rock from the beginning of harvest till water dropped upon them, suffered neither the birds of the air to rest. In other words, she just mourned and grieved for what happened. You know the bottom line was? That sin of Michael's all the way, all the years, all the effort, all the time, all the care, all the energy, raising those 5 boys, in the end, they were all put to death. She lost her brood. She lost her kids. In fact, this is the last mention we ever see of Michael in the Bible. The curse of that lie followed her to the grave. Let's close by looking at Psalm 139. You know, the Bible, 139 verse 23, turn there. The Bible gives us these stories for a reason, folks. 1 Corinthians 10, Romans, I think 15, tells us that things in the Old Testament were written for our admonition and learning. God teaches us these things because he wants us to understand the principles. Now, grant you, people don't have to die to break a curse anymore. Guess who died? Hallelujah! But the principle's the same. The sin must be confessed. We have something sometimes, one of the healthiest things you can ever do in a relationship is have what we call a confession session. A confession session. The Bible says if you confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, you can be healed. One of the healthiest things is you finally get out all the stuff you've been judging and hurting. You confess it. You get it out. Well, I've held this against you for years. And you forgive and you bless and you release. Amen? Otherwise, folks, I tell you what, this is real. This is very important to God. You may scoff or harden your heart or say, I don't believe this. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. Whatever you sow, you shall reap. It is a law of the universe. It don't matter what you believe. It's going to happen. Somebody says, well, I don't believe in hell. Well, that's too bad. Hell believes in you. And one day you will wake up, so where am I? Guess what? You is where you didn't believe. It's true. These are facts of the universe. And the greatest fact of the universe is you need to make it right. You need to forgive. You need to let it go. Amen. You need to confess. If you've lied, if you judged, judge not lest you be judged. Whatever measure you meet out, it's going to be measured back to you. If you've lied, this is what you need to do. Verse Psalm 139, verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, that's the prayer to pray. The healthiest prayer you can pray is, Lord, show me. Is there anything back there that I did? It's very possible that Michael totally forgot what started out all this mess. When she lied about her husband. But, you know, I thought about it. That little lie that she made to her daddy back there, that enabled him and strengthened his hand to continue to pursue David. And Saul ended up killing the Lord's priests. Remember that? Like 30 of the Lord's priests slaughtered them. Well, her lie contributed in justifying himself to pursue his son-in-law. See, she enabled the wickedness. She didn't realize the consequence of that little lie saving her skin. She encouraged the deception in Saul's mind. A little lie can cause great problems. So it's very important that we pray the prayer. I want us to pray this together. Say this after me. Lord, search me and try me. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Search me with the Holy Spirit. Knock down doors. Open up windows. Go in rooms that have never been opened. Do a thorough search. A search and destroy mission. And bring to the surface and to the light lies, deceptions, unrighteousness, judgments, and sins that I've buried, denied, justified, and blamed. Bring it to the surface that I confess my sin, knowing you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Folks, the good news of the New Testament is the principles are the same of the way sin will reap consequences. What the New Testament is, praise God, is the penalty's been paid. That's the New Testament promise. The only difference is the penalty's been paid, and all we got to do is confess it. Praise God. All we got to do is bring it to the light, bring it, humble ourselves and confess it. Humble yourself. God gives grace to the humble. But we are not in a position, people think, well, I'm under the grace of God. That doesn't mean you can harbor and hold sin. It has to. Jesus said, he that loves truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest at the wrath of God. But he that hates the light neither comes to light, that his deeds are evil. So it's incumbent upon us to be serious about this stuff. Amen? I personally don't want a curse hanging on my head. You know, for the rest of my life. And the Holy Ghost has shown me some things. I mean, he has. He's ferreted stuff up. Stuff way back there. And attitudes against my daddy. You know, things I did one time. Oh, 6 months, 8 months ago. The Holy Ghost reminded me of some scene with my mother when she was some Friday night. She picked me up after work. She was grounding me for the weekend. Man, that was the worst thing in my life to be grounded. I live for the weekend. Party with my friends in my small town. And she grounded me. She said, you're grounded. I don't know why. I never would offend. I never did anything wrong. I don't know what it was. Probably back talking. Who knows? It was my problem. Or maybe I flunked a test. I forget what it was. But she grounded me. And I remember I got in the car and I sat in the back seat and I was grumbling and mad and spewing and angry. But I was being all inside. I knew better than to manifest it. You know, the Lord just brought that right to my heart. He says, you cursed your mama. You cursed her. You didn't honor her. You justified yourself. And I said, Lord, my mom has passed, but you know, I confess that sin to the Lord. I said, Lord, forgive me. I don't know what consequence that sucker's born in my life all these years, but it probably had some. That's why he's bringing it to my mind. See? There's a reason. Oh, Lord, take it. I don't want to carry that no more. I don't know how it's affecting me today. It could be my health. Could be my finances. Could be my relationship. Who knows? The anointing? I don't know. Man, thank you for the blood. Put it under the blood, Jesus. Wash me clean so I can go forward. Amen? Let's all stand. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. I pray you'd come. Right now, I'm going to ask you. Let's just be still one moment. I'm going to ask the Holy Ghost. You prayed the prayer. Now, let's just wait before him if he can bring something to your heart. Come, Lord, you bring stuff to our mind and heart this morning. We can put under the blood. We welcome the scrutiny of your presence today. Come, Lord. It's all about getting free. Freed from the roots. Freed from the depths. Jesus. Come, Lord, bring it up. If the Lord's bringing anything to your mind, all you got to do is confess it to Jesus. Say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, have mercy on me. I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Lord, forgive me. I confess it as sin this morning. Lord, redeem it. Lord, turn it around for the good. Cleanse it out of my life. Wash away the curse. Stop the consequence and the ramifications of it, Lord. Have mercy on me. Stop it because of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's interesting that that curse was broken when the blood of those men hit the ground. And they were able to bless. So, Lord, your blood hit the ground, and now we can receive your blessing. Jesus. Lord, I pray you purge us of every lie, every dishonor, every betrayal, to save our own skin. Just bring it up to our life, our heart, so we can confess it and be done with it. And walk anew and fresh.